Here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus. I'm not going to tell you where to turn in it. I'm just going to tell you to get there, okay? I've already used probably half of my speaking time by doing the introduction that I've just done. So this is going to be real short. I'm trying not to cough on you. Someone gave me a Halls a moment ago, so I'm warning the front row. If I lose it, I may take somebody out up here, okay? But I want to be judicious in the use of my time and in the use of my voice. I'll mention while you're turning there that in the bulletin this morning, it mentioned, my wife and those of us who live in Frederick together. One now has changed his residence. My father, who was 100 years old and 8 months and I think 19 days or so, he just went to be with the Father last Sunday. And so we had services for him on Friday. And I had this awful yet most awesome experience of having his face cradled in my hands as I saw his spirit leave. Most awful and yet awesome moment probably in my life. It's an impactful thing. It changed the way I perceive life in a matter of seconds. So, the bulletin's incorrect. He now lives with the Father. Leviticus. Today's message is titled, What to Do with Thank You. What to Do with Thank You. By history, I've seen lots of people who particularly are what I might call devout and even sometimes extreme, if you know what I mean, Christians. And what would happen is someone would say, oh, thank you for, and then they would, you know, give them appreciation and so forth. And they would say, oh, no, it's all Jesus. It's Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's Jesus. And I often felt like, man, there's something not right about that. Someone tells you thank you, then what should you do? You probably know the answer to this. What do you say? You are welcome. Exactly. So if I say thank you to you, your response is you are welcome. That's the normal process. But often in Christendom, and you may have experienced this before, there are people who, thank you, Judy, there are people who recognize, you know, oh no, I don't want to receive anything, you know, I can't take applause, it all has to go to Jesus. Well, let's talk about that. Because what I began to recognize and then realize some many years ago, in fact, this message was kind of born in my spirit out of Leviticus, because what we're going to read in a second is about a thanks offering. All right? And it's not what you might think it is in the beginning. Most often we, on Thanksgiving, we preach a message and, you know, or we talk to people about giving thanks to God. Now this is about thanking God, yes. But it's more about relationship than it is about just saying thank you or just being appreciative. The book of Leviticus is really at its core, at its heart. The book is about how we can have a relationship with God. Now, when you read Leviticus, the first segment of Leviticus tells us about all of the sacrifices and the processes and what can and shouldn't be done and how to do this and how to do that. It's a how-to portion of the book. Then the last portion of the book has to do with the priesthood and how the priesthood is supposed to act in those processes. But really, all of it is about relationship. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, but think about this. Does God need you to slay an ox, a lamb, a dove, or any such animal? Does He need you to give Him a sacrifice? Think about it. It's not about God. I'll slip you another one. Does God need our worship? He is no less or no more because we worship Him. It's not about God. It's about us. You ever have that thought when the offering's being received and you wonder how much you should give? I'm not talking about tithe. I'm talking about offering. How much you should give? Sitting in a restaurant in Frederick, I had an experience where a bunch of us guys were having a men's breakfast one morning from the church. There were about 30 of us or so. We were sitting around. At the end, this guy who had been serving us, he had done a phenomenal job, just really great because there were so many of us and there was one guy serving us. So he was really busy. And so at the end, we started taking out money and piling it on this pile of money in the middle of the table. And there was one fellow who has a job he's really well paid. He has a great heart for God and a great heart for us. And yet he had a large bill and he looked at the pile and I happened to be sitting across from him. Most of the other guys had already gotten up. It was just kind of he and I at that moment. And he looks at me and he looked at the bill and he goes, "I need to make change," like he was asking permission. And I said, "Well, you can make change." He said, "Well, I wonder how much I should leave." I can't answer that question for you. And then he said, his name happens to be Ken, by the way. And then Ken looks at me and he said, "How much is enough?" I said, "Well, that's really not based on you, is it? How much is the Lord saying into your spirit you should leave?" Because the guy who's been serving us, maybe he on the way today to work was praying, "God, I need to pay my rent today. Or maybe I don't have enough food to feed my children. Maybe I don't have this or that or whatever." And he was looking for God to provide for him today, and that's left up to you and I and this pile of money. And he said, "Wow, how much is enough? Well, I can add," and he put the whole bill in the pile. And I remember my daughter, who is she's been a server in a restaurant and so forth, and one day someone gave her a $300 check. A tip. By the way, that was enough because she needed to pay her rent. So the dialogue that goes on in you, though, is what it's about. It's not about the money. It's not about the act of service that you may do for someone. It's not about that. It's about what's happening in your spirit. What is your relationship with God? What is the Father saying to you about that moment in time, about what your response is to be? So, let's go to Leviticus. Let's start with chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. Now, I'm not going to read all of Leviticus 3 because there are two parts that are kind of duplicate portions. But I'm going to read the first part and then I'll just mention the second portion. Verse 1. If someone's offering is a fellowship offering. Now, by the way, this is the NIV. In the King James Version and a few others, it says peace offering. Maybe you're reading that, or it may say thanks offering. It's the same thing, but in the NIV, it calls it out as a fellowship offering. Or another way to say that would be an offering that provides relationship. That would be fellowship. We have fellowship halls so that we can sit down together and have a meal together and have relationship as God's people. And he offers an animal from the herd, whether male or female. He is to present before the Lord an animal without defect. He is to lay his hand on the head of his offering and then slaughter it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Now, most of us, including the young people here and probably most of the adults, are completely disconnected from this aspect of anything that we eat today. We go to the grocery store, we get sausage. We never think about something had to be slaughtered for the sausage. We eat a great steak. We don't think about it. We eat a chicken or two. We are disconnected. But in this moment, this person is offering his offering unto the Lord. Not disconnected from the offering. And by the way, as we'll read, not disconnected from the meal, which is a fellowship meal. Then Aaron's sons and priests shall sprinkle the blood against the altar on all sides. From the fellowship offering, he is to bring a sacrifice made to the Lord by fire. This is important. All of the fat that covers the inner parts, all that is connected to them, both kidneys, fat on them, near the loins, everything covering the liver, which he will remove from the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons are to burn it on the altar at the top of the burnt offering that is on the burning wood. And all the offering made by fire, now listen, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Now let's connect this to us. You ever driven home in the evening and you get out of the car and someone next door is grilling? Oh my goodness. What happens to you all of a sudden? It's like what happens is immediately, even if you were hungry, you become more hungry, right? Something happens. There's a trigger in you that says, oh man. And if you've got a deck and they're next door or nearby and the wind's wafting your direction, man, you don't even have to grill out. You can just enjoy theirs. Oh. So now think about it. Most of the time when we read these passages, we look at it almost like, my goodness, they're slaughtering animals and they're doing this and they're doing that. What they were having and getting ready to have was a barbecue. I am not diminishing it in any way. This will become a family's meal, hence a fellowship meal. The next two segments particularly speak to the specific sacrifice and how they are to be offered, exactly the same way as I just read. So what's interesting, though, in Jewish culture, at the temple, in the morning and in the evening, these offerings were done. They were fellowship, peace, or thanks offerings. So starting the day with a thank you, ending the day with a thank you. Now, when you start the day, you're thanking God for waking up today and probably a number of other things. But, you know, on this side of the dirt, it's a good thing to thank Him for that, right? But in the evening offering, and this is where I want to focus the message for a moment, is what do you bring? You don't bring a slaughtered lamb. You don't bring a slaughtered goat. You don't, in our culture today, we don't bring that. And what we've learned from the New Testament is that Jesus has fulfilled those regulations and laws. He became the sacrifice. So when we accept Him into our lives, we accept the fellowship offering which He is, the peace offering which He is, the thank offering which He is, and we now abide in that offering. Can you say amen? So now, consider this. I'm going to ask you this question. In the morning offering, you say, thank God it's morning. Or morning, thank God I'm still here. Okay? And you just say, thank you. But in the evening offering, what do you then bring to the Lord? So I want to adjust your thinking, just tweak you a little bit and ask you this. When was the last time someone thanked you for doing something? Maybe this morning, even while you were coming in, you shook someone's hand and they thanked you for some service that they provided for you, even here just in the foyer area. Maybe something at work that you did this week. Maybe something happened in your neighborhood and someone thanked you. Well, let me consider this with you. What if I thank you and instead of you saying, oh, no, no, it's just Jesus, you say something as simple as, you're welcome. And inside, you're going, yay! Tonight, I'm cool about it. Not going to let anybody know this. I'm going to be cool. But tonight, when it's time for me to say my final prayer for the evening, I'm going to say, Lord, remember when Randy thanked me? I have that. I want to offer that to you. It's yours. You gave me the ability and you gave me the heart. You gave me the desire to serve someone. And so I collected these today. I've got some thanks to bring to you. Now watch that. That's a little different, isn't it, than me just coming and saying, thank you, God, for the bread I ate this evening or the chicken I had or, you know, for the day, for where I have to live. That's different than collecting what you said to me, holding it, and then offering it at the end of the day. I don't keep it. I don't keep it on purpose. It's like you gave me a gift. And I get it. I wonder how many more of these I can get. I could probably get 3, maybe 4. So I'm going to give you 2 words. One is spontaneous. There are just things that happen. Sometimes you're going to a shop, you know, and you see someone, you know, maybe it's a mom and she's got 2 kids and a stroller and something, and you open the door, and then on the way in, and sometimes this doesn't happen in our culture today, but on the way in, she turns and she says, "Oh, thank you so much." Inside, you go on, "Oh, you go, you're cool." You go, "You're welcome. You're welcome." But inside, you're going, "Yay." Because tonight, I'm going to go to the Lord and say, "Remember that lady? Thank you that you gave me enough sense to stop for a moment, depart from my own needs and my own life and my own focus, and I'm on a mission into this store or out of it on the way home, and stop for a moment and serve with your heart and your intention, serve someone else." So I get to collect the thank yous. So hence the title, "What do you do with thank yous?" I think most of us, including me, I'm guilty of this too, you know, before I understood this particular passage, I just kind of let them go by the way. Now, the interesting thing is, when this is read further, it says that the meat that is offered, all the parts that you heard me read that are offered, these are not edible parts. But they go on the barbecue. But they're not intended to eat, these pieces. But there are other parts that are edible that get cooked and given back to the family. And the family who offered it takes it home and has a fellowship meal. Now, why is that? Because that is the heart of God toward us. We're His family. We're His family. He's our Father. The process isn't just some sterile, make an offering, and I'm going to like you because now you made an offering. I'm not mad at you anymore because you gave me an offering. And lots of people see God like that. They think a peace offering is so that we will have peace with God. So I'm demanded. That's what it looks like sometimes to us. We look at the Scripture and we go, "Well, I have to make an offering toward God, and then He'll be okay with me, and then I'll be all right until I mess up again, and I'll have to offer again." Now, for us today, we don't do this necessarily, but we go from, "Oh, God, forgive me," to, "Oh, God, forgive me," to, "Oh, God, forgive me." By the way, those sacrifices are listed there too. They're guilt offerings, they're sin offerings, there are others, but every one of them, as I mentioned in the beginning, the whole book of Leviticus is about how to have a relationship with God. It's not about cutting animals in parts and putting them on the barbecue. So God's calling with His heart, "I want to sit with you and have a meal. I want you to..." Does God smell the aroma? I don't know. But I know He lets you and I smell the aroma. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says it this way. The apostle says, "We are the aroma of Christ." Those of you who are scholars in here, you've read this before. We are the aroma of Christ to the world around us. To some, death. Because some see it like some see this. But to others, life. So how do you see it? What's your perspective? God began to switch me so I better understood that He wasn't against me, waiting for me to mess up. He was for me, working in me, through Christ in me. Because He desperately, has this deep, wonderful longing to have this relationship with us. So much so, He had an only Son that He laid on the sacrificial altar so that He and we could have a right relationship with Him. And He, Jesus, became the peace, the thankful, and the fellowship offering. So let me go back to this for a second. The offering for peace is not to have peace, it's an acknowledgement of peace. Here's the difference. If there's some sort of anxiety between us, and I think I need to do something to rectify, to correct it, then I have to act to rectify it. And many people look at passages like this and think, well, what God demands, and I use the word correctly, demands, that's what they think, is that God demands, isn't that cool, I'm putting you in the position of God? Wow. Gray hair, the beard, the whole thing. You even had the voice a moment ago, you know, with a microphone and all that. So they think God demands, but really what's happening is God isn't demanding, God is saying, I want us to have an ongoing, constant, consistent, open relationship. I want to walk throughout the day with you and have a conversation. And I don't want anything to separate us in that conversation. And then He says, hey, let's sit down. Let's acknowledge our relationship. Hence, it's called a peace offering. We are at peace. Let's make an offering and have a meal. Oh, and by the way, my dad just passed. But there are many, many times when I would have a conversation with my father and appreciate the input that he made into my life. I mean, there are little phrases on Friday. We mentioned Claudisms is what we call them. These little phrases that he planted in us over the years. So, integrity, you know, bravery, dynamics. I mean, he had a bronze star from World War II. You know, there are things that were part of his life that he communicated to us in the simplest of ways. But yet, when he and I sat down together for a meal, or when he sat with us as a family, we didn't have to be anxious about the relationship because we ate together in peace. And we could appreciate one another throughout the day. This happened, that happened, in peace, in thankfulness. So, what the Lord wanted me to come and tell you is this. Don't think about, you know, hey, look, if you need forgiveness, then get it. It's there. But this relationship, it's even beyond awe that He is God. It's even beyond the worship that He is who He is. Because if you are in constant awestruckness, if you will, I don't know that it's a word, but let's coin it now. Works for me. If I'm awestricken by Him, He's saying, yeah, I know. Have a seat. Let's have a meal together. Now let me ask you this. This is something you do consistently. What is the meal of communion? What is it? It's a meal, right? Now you and I, we've done our stuff religiously and we've put it in a bread piece, a wafer, a little thing, whatever it is that we use, and a glass of wine. But remember, those two pieces came out of a meal, a table that was set, where Jesus took the bread and then took the cup. They were in a fellowship meal. When those two things that we call communion today were born out of that. So what the Lord is saying to you, He just, it's almost like He can't wait. So first thing, spontaneous thank yous that people give you. He can't wait for you and Him to sit down together and talk about that and offer it over. Lord, this is what happened today. You know, I used to be so gruff and mean and had this scowl on my face and I wouldn't open the door for anybody. But then you began to work in my life and you softened me. And I began to realize the precious nature of other people and that you died for them. So now I hold the door for them. Or whatever it is you do, that gets you the thank you. The second one is be intentional. Go out there among the world and get as many of those thank yous as you possibly can get. Work at it. Go out there and do it. So that at the end of the day, you can come back with your pockets jangling with thank yous. With your pockets just stuffed. Lord, I know you saw it, but it was good, wasn't it? Here, let me get you some of these. Let's get them out here. Let's talk about, oh man, remember that one? Remember that one? Remember that one? Oh, I remember this one. This one, this got me. I had done that months ago. And they called me on the phone and they thanked me. I didn't even realize they recognized it. But that was good. Lord, thank you. Thank you. So in closing, and today, I'm just going to use one of those. Normally I use three. What do you do with thank you? I'm going to suggest that from now on, you take the ones that just come and you intentionally get some to, in the end of the day, offer to the Lord in fellowship with Him. There's no restrictions, no boundaries. You just get to sit with your God and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you changed me so that I can bring to you the thank yous of my day. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, once when I was frustrated about, I didn't know the message went so well or not, I asked you about it. You said, did you say what I sent you to say? So today, Lord, I believe I've said what you sent me to say. I'm not sure, Lord, if it speaks to everybody. But I know it speaks to who you wanted to speak to. So as I trust here, I'm standing here knowing full well that within hearts and minds, sitting here today, you are nudging them as you have nudged me. You're speaking God whispers into their heart. You're inciting them to go and to serve others. And as they thank them, you and us together will be able to enjoy. Thank you. Father, as we close this message, I absolutely understand that this is only a moment for us to hear so that we can go there and not only do your work, but be your word. Be the aroma of Christ in the world that is around us. In your wonderful and so precious name, I thank you. And everyone said amen. Amen.